Well, we talked about being abundant lovers last time we were together, continuing in the subject of marriage and this sort of thing. And God not only called us to a more abundant life, but with that more abundant life, that means that we have to give more abundant forgiveness, more abundant mercy, more abundant love to our spouses. And we talked about going out of our way to let our spouses know how much we love them by our words and our deeds. I've already taught you what a blueprint is. One of the things we heard in manifestations this morning was that God has advice for us. And today we're going to look at the subject of God's blueprint for dating. God's blueprint for dating. Before you ever get to the place that you're going to come together or propose or accept the proposal and enter into a marriage covenant with an individual, the first thing you're probably going to do is date. Some churches don't believe in dating. They teach that it's sin and it just leads to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God has a blueprint for dating. And if we follow God's blueprint for dating, we'll stay out of trouble when we get to where we're going to be dating people. You'll remember I taught you that a blueprint is a plan of action or guide on how to do something. It's worked out in advance how something is to be done or organized. In other words, you know ahead of time. You have this thing in front of you ahead of time, this piece of paper that's the blueprint. So you can follow it, and you know where to go, where not to go, what to do, and what not to do. That's what a blueprint is. Now, at this point, what you have to do is, if you're going to date, you have to ask yourself the question, what are my intentions in dating this individual? What are my intentions in dating this individual? If you're dating for social reasons, and your relationship is going to be strictly platonic. You want to go out to have fun, or you want to go out to talk, or you just have a friend, then just go and be blessed. Go and be blessed. And remember that you're a child of God, and as his son or daughter, he expects you to act in a manner that reflects the person of Jesus Christ. Now, that's an individual who is an adult and can make that decision for themselves. When it comes to our children, the parents must decide what age is appropriate for a child to begin dating. And that no one can say. I do think that 12 years old is a little too young personally, but I'm not the one that makes the standard. You have to know your child. You have to know what they're able to handle and what they're not able to handle. Because coming along with dating, especially with, you know, when you first begin dating as a teenager, et cetera, there's a whole bunch of pressure that comes on teenagers. If you're a boy, it's one set of pressure. If you're a girl, it's a completely other set of pressure. And this is where it's important for a father to be involved with a young girl, with his daughter. A father has to bless that child. A father has to affirm that young daughter. See, you can get away with a lot of things with boys that you can't with girls. And there's certain things that boys do not need, but girls do need. And unless a father affirms his daughter, unless he validates her worth, that daughter will seek to be affirmed or validated or appreciated somewhere else. Now, at a young age, the girl has not amassed much money. She doesn't have a Ferrari. She doesn't have an IRA to share with someone. But what she does have is her body. And what many girls do is they use their body as a bargaining tool to get the affirmation and the love that they did not receive from their father. And this is where a lot of young girls get in trouble, because when a young boy begins to show her some affection, some attention that she should have got at home, okay? All the emotions start to go, all the hormones start to move, and when that is in danger of being pulled away from her, then she gets in a compromised position sometimes where she is forced to make a choice. If I want to continue to have this love, this affirmation, these feelings of I'm respected, I'm wanted, I need to give such and such to continue to have this. So you have to get to the place as a parent to figure out what you want to allow your child to go through, and as if your child is old enough for this. And you know, every teenager thinks they know everything about everything, and I'm not being that way to be smart, but that's the way it is. And then when you get to be 20 and 30, you realize you didn't know anything. And then when you get to be 30, 40, and 50, you realize you didn't know anything, and that's the way it works. And I can't expect you to believe that right now, but when you get older, you'll say, damn it, that preacher wasn't right. So you have to decide as a child, as a parent, you know, what you allow in your home. And just because you allow it in your home and I don't allow it in mine or vice versa doesn't make me right and you wrong or vice versa. God has given us much leeway with how we raise our families as long as the principle of the word is there, the techniques that you choose to impart into your own home is your business, as long as it's a godly technique. Now, you must remember when you're dating an individual that you want to keep the relationship honest and you want to make sure you're both on the same page. You don't want to send mixed signals to the other person. You don't want to play with the other person. You don't want to tease the other person. You understand? You want to make sure you're on the same page. And the best way to stay on the same page is to be honest right from the beginning. Be honest from the beginning. When Kim and I began to date, I met Kim in a Bible class, and we began to date, and every one of our dates, we talked about God. And, you know, we just fellowshiped together. We went to fellowship together. We talked about God together. I shared my heart with her and what I wanted to do, and I saw her heart and what she wanted to do, and we just got along and we clicked. But the fellowship that we had and the house that we were beginning to build, even at that time in our relationship, was built on the rock, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, if you're just going out for fun and you're going out to do whatever, then go out and have fun, but you still need to be a son of God and be respectful, or a daughter of God and be respectful. But if you're going out with the intention of you're looking to get married one day, okay? The individual that you are dating, whether you're a girl or a guy, if you want to have God's blueprint for marriage in your life, then from the beginning, you should talk about God and what God means to one each other. And you should share, and you should be able to observe the qualities of God's word in that individual's life. If you're a guy and a girl, you're a Christian girl and you're going out with a guy and he's always saying GD or JC's name in the wrong way, or he's getting high, but he professes to be a Christian, then it doesn't take rocket science to figure out that this guy is a liar and his speech is not lining up with his actions. If you're a guy and you're dating a girl and she is stubborn and she can't get you a cup of coffee when you ask her politely and her remark is get it for yourself, it shouldn't take you a lot to figure out that this girl is not going to submit to you when you're married if she can't be kind enough to get you something when you're single. One of the things Kim always did, and she was always blessed to do it, was ever since we started the date, even at our very young, only a couple, three dates, we would decide, we went up to visit her family one time, but she always served me. And I didn't look to be served, but it was her way of loving me. It's one of the love languages, to serve an individual. You can read about that book sometime if you want to read that book. But she always would serve me. She would get up and she would always offer, can I get you a coffee? Can I get you that? Can I get you this? And I didn't feel like an idiot when I sat at the table and, you know, everybody's getting everything else for whoever, and I'm sitting there and I don't have nothing in front of me. She always made sure that I was taken care of. In other words, she wanted me to know that she wanted to serve me, that she wanted to bless me. And that blessed me. And that was a very early as we dated, and it's never stopped. She continues to act that way. So you look at these things and you peg them. And if you have the Word of God that you have as a common bound that you can come to, you can work some of these things out. Maybe a girl doesn't understand her responsibility according to the Word. Maybe a guy doesn't understand his responsibility. But the Word of God can fix all of these things. As long as you're honest in your relationship and your relationship reflects the person of Christ, you don't have a problem. But you know what happens? People don't stay honest in their relationships. Problems often arise in a platonic relationship when one of the parties wants or expects more than the friendship or the companionship they have been enjoying up until this point. That's when we start to have problems. And this is where the relationship can take a turn for the worst. We heard several times in manifestations this morning that God said, open your heart up to me. Open your heart up to me. So if you're a girl and you're in a relationship, it's just platonic, you've been going out, you've been friends, you've been having a good time, you've been going to movies, you've been going to parties, you've been just going to the library, just, hey, you want to get a burger together? And the guy wants to bring it to the next level, and you don't, okay? That's where the honest communication needs to start and stay. You know what most girls do, though? Most girls will get on the phone, and they'll call one of their besties. They'll call one of their friends, see? And they'll confide in one of their friends. Well, did you ever hear the saying, follow your heart? Isn't that a wonderful saying? They say, follow your heart. You know, you watch some of the Hallmark Love or Family shows, and sooner or later, you're going to run into some older, wiser, benevolent, caring woman telling her confused daughter, granddaughter, or niece, honey, just follow your heart and everything will work out fine. Or it'll be the girlfriend you call. And your best friend will say, if you follow your heart, you can't go wrong. Or it'll be something like, your heart will never steer you in a wrong direction. See, the problem with this kind of advice is that although it sounds sincere and it's comforting to hear, it's dead wrong. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15. In Numbers 15, beginning in verse 38, God says, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon band of blue. And it shall come, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and after your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. God says he wants them to make something that when they look at it, they will be reminded of the Word of God that they've been taught. And the reason he wants them to be reminded is so that they wouldn't seek after their own heart. In other words, do what makes them feel good. Do what they think is the right thing to do. Do which blesses them and serves them. God tells us not to follow our hearts. Look at Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs 28. beginning in verse 26, the first part of that verse, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a what? I didn't say that, God did. See, when you follow your heart and you trust what your heart is telling you, God says you're what? You're foolish. Jeremiah chapter 17, the New International Version of Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The New Jerusalem of Jeremiah 17, 9 reads, the heart is more devious than any other thing and is depraved. Who can pierce its secrets? Can you begin to imagine now why God doesn't want us to follow our hearts? Because our hearts are deceived. They're evil. They're full of wrong things. Man's heart is full of evil. It's full of wickedness. And the reason why it is, it's because of man's fallen nature. Now, you may cloak this with nice words and nice sayings, but the Bible is not wrong. It says the heart is full of these things. Look at Mark chapter 7. Now, in a relationship, when your heartstrings begin to get tugged, okay, you're going to have the challenge of, are you going to follow your heart, or are you going to do what God directs us to do? And you're going to see what God directs us to do is for you to lead your heart. God directs us to direct your heart. He doesn't say to follow it. He tells you to direct it. But in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus Christ speaks. He says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they what? They defile a man. They defile a man. And the first part of the verse says it comes from out of the what? Heart. So God has already instructed us what's in our hearts. Okay? You know what's not in this verse? The word except is not in this verse. It doesn't say except for Nicotania. Now, it may say except for Sandy Ray because she's so beautiful. But it doesn't say except for Rob. In other words, this is the way we were born. This stuff's in us because of our fallen nature. Now, some more so than others, but this is why God doesn't want us following these things. This is why God never tells anybody to follow their heart. Rather, we are instructed to direct or to guide our hearts. Look at Proverbs 23. Now, when you're in an emotionally charged situation, many times a well-meaning friend will tell you what you want to hear to comfort you, but it won't be what you need to hear, and it won't be the truth, and it won't bring deliverance or peace in that situation. And if you get any deliverance or any peace, it'll be short-lived. And anybody who's been through life a while knows what I'm talking about. Proverbs 23:19 says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Guide your heart in the way. The word guide means to make straight or to lead your heart in a straight path. See, it's a decision. And if you want to be wise and you want to hear, you take your heart and you lead your heart in the straight way that you want it to go. Proverbs 23, verse 26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, the good ways. Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. One of the things that you need to be aware of as you come here or any other Bible teaching church in the world is that once you hear God's word, you are responsible for God's word. And God will hold you accountable for that word now and in the future. In Psalm 119, in verse 33, the psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute, and I shall keep it until the what?" What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. Until you get to learn some of God's word, and then you have to say, oh boy, now I got to keep it to the end. Verse 34, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my what? Whole heart." If God imparts to you something and you understand it, then your responsibility now is to keep it with your what? Your whole heart. See, you're responsible for what you learn. You're responsible to apply it to your life. You see, just because someone tells you to follow your heart and is kind, and I'm not questioning their love or their friendship for you, doesn't necessarily mean that that individual is speaking the truth and giving you godly advice. Psalm 42 is a wonderful example of someone having a conversation with their heart. Psalm 42 is a wonderful example of someone speaking to their heart, leading their heart, directing their heart, telling their heart what to do, what to think, and where to go. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 42. And the psalmist is having a conversation with himself. He's going through some problems in life, and he's talking to himself, and he's saying, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You ever go walk around and talk to yourself and say, "Now, what in the world is going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I so miserable? Why am I so such and such? What?" And this is what the guy's doing. He's having a conversation with himself, and he wants to know. And he says, "Why art thou disquieted in me?" Then he turns around and he says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." He questions, why am I like this? Why is this? And then he turns around and he talks to the same person himself, and he's saying, you know what you need to do? You need to hope now in God. You need to ask him for the help of his countenance, this sort of thing. So this is what's happening. This is where a guy or a girl can have a problem, and instead of being led away with emotions, instead of following their heart, instead of, they can direct their heart. They can say, you know what? This is what the word says. This is what I need to think. This is what you need to do. See, that's what the psalmist was doing. He was directing his heart in the way of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 3. You all know this proverb. Proverbs 3. But you see, this is how you do it. You talk to yourself. You have a conversation with yourself. You think it through in your head. And you think it through past the day. You know, people like to live in the moment. Don't live in the moment. Think it through past the day. The decisions you make for the moment and the pleasure that they may bring you in the moment, you may have to live with for the rest of your life. So make sure you think it through further than the moment. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart." You write it upon the tables of your heart. You understand? So you take it and you write it. God is love. this is what you do. You write it upon the table of your heart. That takes some time, but that's you training your heart, you directing your heart, you leading your heart. You put it in there. You understand? You put the word in there. When you do that, you find good favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. The first part of the verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Leaning to your own understanding is when you follow your heart. But the word says for us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. You know how hard this is when you're in an emotionally charged situation with a dating situation or a marriage situation? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because your heart's telling you one thing, your body's telling you one thing, your hormones are telling you one thing, these chemicals are telling you this, and then you got God over here telling you another thing. You know, you ever see the little angel devil on your shoulders? Devil's whispering in his ear, do this, do this, and the angel's whispering over here, don't do this, don't do that. You see, you're the one who determines the outcome of what's going to happen. And the best thing to do, honestly, is to avoid the situation. Because I want to tell you something. When you get yourself in the situation, there's a point of no return. That no matter how strong of a man of God you are, or how strong of a lady of God you are, that when you get in a situation, you get to the place where it's called the point of no return. And the only thing left to do is sin. And then after it's done, you feel like crap. You know what the difference is between that and marriage? Is that after it's done, you feel like doing it again. And you're blessed. That's the difference. Now think about this for a second. What made the difference? This is for the argument of the people who don't believe in marriage and the people say you can do whatever you want to do. What makes the difference? What made the difference? Is the girl the same as she was? Or they're all made the same. The boys are all made the same, right? What makes the difference between the condemnation, the guilt, the bitterness, the remorse, and the blessed euphoria? What makes a difference? That's all that makes a difference. Now, that don't look like much, right? This ring? But, and you all know what I'm talking about. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. It's something that is blessed by God and something that God says, I wouldn't do that if I were you, because you're going to bring all these kind of problems into your life. That's what makes the difference. See, this includes dating. We are to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. He'll direct our paths when it comes to dating. You know why? Because we read in Mark 7 that the heart is full of evil thoughts. We read that, right? Some of the things we read in Mark 7 is those evil thoughts is adulteries, fornications, lust, etc. So if our heart, God has already warned us, our heart is full of this. My heart's full of lust. No, it's not. That's what the Bible says. You argue with God. Okay? And I'm going to follow my heart, and there happens to be lust in my heart. What am I following? Lust, right? That's why we don't follow our hearts. There's wickedness in my heart. And if I'm going to follow my heart, I'm going to get revenge against you because you dated my boy or my girl, right? You don't do that. That's why God instructs us to direct our hearts. I'm not telling you that it's easy. I'm not telling you that I am Mr. Perfect and I have never wrestled with any of this stuff where I sat in the chairs that you sat in. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is that God's word applies just as much to me as it does to you, and you have the right to say yes or no to God. And God's going to love you whether you say yes or no, and I want you to know that. He won't like what you're doing, he won't be blessed what you're doing, and I will guarantee you the problems that you will bring into your life would not have been there if you would have followed God's word. God's not going to turn his back on you, okay? God's not going to beat you, he's not going to send lightning down on you, but in the same token, that doesn't give you a right to take God's grace and live any way you want to live, knowing that God's not going to send a lightning bolt, right? If we love somebody, we want to do things that will please them. You don't want to do things to upset them, right? So if we love God, we should want to do the things that please God. Look, you think you don't know, you're married. Listen, what about Jesus? Jesus had a right to be happy. But you know what Jesus had to forsake? Jesus had to forsake just about every pleasure in the world because he loved us. Okay, so don't think about me and what I don't know, because everybody knows that. But let's think about Jesus and what he does know, and let's think about what he had to forsake. He went through it all. That's why he's our Savior, because he was tempted in all points, and he didn't what? That's right. You see, we are to direct our hearts. And once we direct our hearts into the Word, then we are to direct our actions. Our actions have to follow what's in our hearts. We're to walk in love towards one another. And when you're dating someone, Christ is to be your example. And dating gives you an opportunity to witness for your Lord and Savior. You know, I remember listening to his name's gone from me right now, but I'll think of it in a minute. It was a deliverance minister. I studied him years ago, and he shared about the old preacher, and Dr. Prince, that's who it was. And he shared about the old preacher who told him a story one time, and it was about a young girl who came to him and said, "I'm thinking about getting married, and this is my fiance, and I want you to meet him." Well, they already got engaged. It's a fiance, and so they're already made their decision. Now they're coming for the blessing on the decision that's already been made. So Dr. Prince goes, he tells a story, and he said to the girl, he said, "Well, that's nice. That's wonderful." He says, "Is your boyfriend a Christian?" And she said, "Well, no, he's not a Christian, but once we get married, I'm going to make him a Christian." So he said, "Well, I'd like you to do something for me, young lady." He said, "I'd like you to stand up here on this coffee table." And she said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, I'll help you." And he said, "Now put your hand down and reach out to your boyfriend sitting there on that chair." He said, "Now I want you to take him and pull him up to that coffee table with you." And she went and she tried. She said, "Well, I can't do that." And he said, "Exactly." And he said, "That's what it's going to be like trying to make him a Christian once you get married. You're going to have the anchor of his unbelief chained to your leg." You see? If you're going to date, have at it, have fun. But if you're dating with a view to marriage, you know, marriage is death until we part. It's a lifetime commitment. And if you want God's blueprint in your marriage, if you care about what God says a marriage should be, and if you choose to go God's route, then you better understand that the woman or the man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with better be on the same page. Because if you're not on the same page, the euphoria is going to wear out after a while. See? So dating someone gives you the opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If the individual doesn't want to hear about Jesus, the individual doesn't want to fellowship with you, if the individual isn't excited about Jesus, well, you know, what do you need? You need a marching band and an airplane with a big thing flying over the sky saying, "Warning, warning." What makes you think the individual is going to change? It's not going to happen. And that's a good thing. You know why it's a good thing? Because you have no commitment. You know when it's a bad thing? It's a bad thing when you got 2 and 3 kids, a mortgage, and a dog. That's when it's a bad thing. But why do people wind up with that? It's because they follow their hearts. They follow their heart instead of saying, I'm going to direct my heart into the Word and I'm going to follow what God says. They follow their heart. Well, what's wrong with that? The heart is full of wickedness. It's not a good thing to follow. Right? We're to walk in love always, always. See, when you date, it gives you a chance to bless someone. It gets you a chance to know someone. You see? You're in a much better position to know about that person when you go out and date. And it depends on what you want in your life. If God is an important part of your life, this is who I am, this is what, you know, then that individual needs to know about that. Because if that individual wants no part of it when you're dating, I will guarantee you they will be a thorn in your flesh when you marry. You can't change people. You can't change people. I didn't change Kim. What attracted me to Kim was Kim's love for God. Kim's love for God. I'll guarantee you that if I went out with Kim the first time and I was sitting somewhere and we were dating 3 or 4 times, I said, honey, could you get me a glass of milk? And she turned around and said to me, get it yourself. You know what I would have did? Well, she wouldn't be sitting there, because I would have got up and I said, I will. Where are you going? I'm going to go get me some milk. Where? Refrigerator's that way. I'm going to Burger King. Get me my milk at Burger King. And I would never saw her again. See, if she didn't respect me enough then and there, now she would have called and I would have explained it to her later and we would have worked it out. That's one thing. But you as a man, you don't need to be disrespected like that. You don't need to be told way it's going to be, what's going to happen. You don't. If a woman doesn't want to serve you, if a woman doesn't want to bless you, if you're satisfied with that type of life, well, then have at it. But I'll guarantee you, it won't get better as you get married. It'll get worse. And the same thing as a woman. You know, you deserve more from some of these guys than what they give. If a guy doesn't bless you, if a guy can't talk properly around you, if a guy's not treating you with love and respect, if a guy's out goofing around with other girls or drinking or, you know, doing whatever, blowing his paycheck and all these other things, is that what you want in your life? If the guy is so damn lazy that he comes home and he lays on the sofa and then he does nothing, and you got to cut the grass and feed the kids and make the lunch and... Is that what you want? Why do people settle for this kind of junk? Because you know what the devil whispers in their ear? You'll never find someone that will make you happy. And so you know what you do? You settle for second, third, fourth, or fifth best. It's easier today to find someone that will love you and walk with God than it is years ago. It is. Because we have available to us today such a large database to find people. Before it was just who's in your church. Well, you know, now you got these Christian dating sites, you got other churches, you got all kinds of stuff that you can reach out. And you know, that doesn't mean because you go on one date or two dates that maybe the individual's not right for you. But you have a whole pool of people to pick from. Before it was just, it's in my group, and if it's not in my group, then... Well, that's not true. There's a lot of people out there that love God and that want to know the truth of God's word and will stand with you, this sort of thing. But you believe the lie of the devil that there's no one for you, then, you know, what are you going to do? So, we talked about God's blueprint for dating and that a blueprint is something that you have before you date. So you got to know in your head what you want to do with regards as far as dating someone. You have to understand, am I dating this person for just to have fun, and that's great, or am I dating this person because I'm looking somewhere down the road to get married? If you're looking somewhere down the road to get married, then you ought to let the individual know who you are, what you're about, and how you would like to run your marriage, if God is important to you. And you need to be honest about it. And we talked about following your heart. You know, it sounds good. It's on all the cards. It's on all the TV shows. But it's not the truth. Because if God's word said, for out of the heart cometh love, peace, joy, it doesn't say that. You know where that stuff comes from? The Spirit, right? So it may be something that may upset you, or it may make you mad, but that's not my intention. If God's word said do such and such, then I would change my mind to do God's word. Because really, ultimately, in the end, God has your best interest in mind. And you have to sometimes in life trust that God knows more than what you know. You know, and just place your life in His hands. And if you place your life in the hands of God, He will not hand it back to you in a worse condition. Remember in the Gospels that no one ever came to Jesus Christ and left the worse. No one who ever wanted help, no one who ever believed came to Jesus Christ and left the worst. They were always more fulfilled, more blessed. They were always healed. They were always given instruction. And God's word instructs us not only in marriage, but it instructs us in dating. And dating is an important point, because here's the thing. A lot of problems in marriage can be avoided if you apply some of the principles in your dating. Because like I said, if it isn't working in your dating, what makes you think that it's going to work when you get married? When you got more pressure, when you got children, when you got financial obligations, when you got legal obligations, when you got all these other things pulling on you, it's just you and her into dating. You understand? Just you and her. You don't have the banker, puts the rope around your neck. You don't have the employer, puts the rope around your neck. Oh my goodness. You don't have the in-laws, put the rope around your neck. You don't have the children, they put the rope around your wallet. And if you got more than one, you got three or four ropes, and you got all these things pulling on you, right? Okay, well, when it's just you and her, and you can see it's not good, then what do you think this individual is going to react like under pressure? Better? So and that all boils down to you follow your heart. Oh, I'm in love, or he's so cute, or she's so cute, and you're following this, and you're following this, and then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up X amount of years down the road, you say, well, what did I do? God instructs us to direct our hearts. We should stay honest with one another. We should treat people with respect. And we should always endeavor to walk like Christ towards our brothers and sisters. So, Father, thanks for your word, for your love, for your instructions. And most of all, that we could be doers of your word, Father. We thank you for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.